The scripture reading this evening is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. We read the verses 1 through 9. That is Deuteronomy chapter 4. We read the verses 1 through 9. And there we read God's holy word. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So far the reading of the holy word of God. The text for the meditation this evening is taken here from this section of God's word, and it is verse 7. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So far. Moses, the man of God, is encouraging the people of Israel to serve the Lord and to remember his commandments and to fulfill all the institutes of the Lord God. He is encouraging the people to walk in agreement with God's law, as Moses is now here in Deuteronomy giving his farewell sermon to the people of Israel. He refers to them in verse 9, to these wonderful laws that the Lord had given Israel. These laws, they were unique in the world. These laws were so good. They were full of compassion and full of justice and righteousness. His laws showed care for the poor and for the needy. And scientists have found out in the early 20th century that the ancient laws the Lord had given to Israel were so good, they were hygienic, and they prevented epidemics, and they promoted health among the people, and cleanliness in their villages and in their countryside. It was all so very good. The laws Israel received were far beyond anything else that any nation had ever received. And Moses and the people of Israel did not realize all the reasons probably why the Lord had instituted these commandments. But whatever they saw and realized, Moses had heard them from the Lord and was passing them on to the people. Keep these commandments and walk therein and keep yourself clean and pure from the idols and from the heathens and belong to the Lord. These laws are good. And these laws were most wise. And such was the wisdom portrayed in these laws that they supply the people of Israel with insight and understanding in the sight of all nations. God's laws would exalt this nation, for righteousness exalts a nation. And in the keeping of God's commandments, there is great reward. And Moses knows this, and he is instilling upon the people to keep God's commandments also after he will be taken from them. And then Moses summarizes this in verse 7 and says, "For what nation is there that is so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Well, we meditate on the blessing of prayer, and we see fervent prayer, we see God's presence, and a blessed people. So if we summarize the text and we look at the words of our text, we say that Moses is concluding, what nation is there that is so great as Israel, so privileged? For we have the Lord God close to us, and the Lord God is in all things close nigh to us that we call upon him for. So that all we ask the Lord for, he will supply us with, because he is close to us. What a great blessing. And what nation is there in the world to be compared to Israel? And so we see then fervent prayer, God's presence, and a blessed people. So the text refers first to prayer, to fervent prayer. Yes, fundamental to this text are the last words you find here, and that's what we're going to start off with, that in all things that we call upon him for. Because God is close to those who call upon his name, and he is ready to listen to all their needs and to give them all they stand in need of. The text speaks of calling upon God. It's crying unto God. It's lifting up your voice unto the Lord with all your needs and with all your cares and with all your struggles and with all your disappointments. And is it not something so often you find recorded in Scripture? If you read through the Scriptures, boys and girls, if you would look through the Scriptures and go and just consider for yourself the so many times, countless examples of people in need who call upon the Lord, and the Lord is close to them in everything that they ask him for. Look at Moses himself. A few weeks ago in our series on Moses, there we saw that Moses came to the Lord after Pharaoh had hardened his heart and had increased the burdens upon the Israelites. And then the people, they cursed Moses, you remember. And then Moses goes in his inner chamber to the Lord and says, "Lord, why hast thou sent me? Thou hast not delivered the people at all." And then how does the Lord respond? We saw no rebuke, but pure gospel. And the Lord says, "Now you will see what I will do." Here you have an example that in everything Moses asked, the Lord was close to him and to his people. Although outwardly it seemed as if things were going wrong, in reality they were going well. And if you look further, the Lord willing, we may meditate on that in the future. That so many times Moses looked upon the Lord. I think only of that example when the Lord has led Israel to the sandy stretch of beach on the shore of the Red Sea, and that there are mountains on both sides of them, and then they've nowhere to hide from the Egyptians. They're all in sheer panic, and Moses cried unto the Lord. He needed the Lord again to intervene. And you know what happened. And then when after a few days, they find the bitter water of Marah, what could Moses do? He cried unto the Lord. in Exodus 15:25. He couldn't do anything himself. Moses, a great man of God, but he could do nothing. He was as weak, as feeble as a reed, although he was a very gifted man, a mediator between God and the people. Very able, very courageous and strong, but in himself he was so weak, he couldn't do a thing. He cried unto the Lord, and then the Lord gave deliverance again. And then when Amalek came, in Exodus 17, what did Moses do? He stood on the rock with his staff lifted up. It's a prayer, a continual prayer to the Lord. He cried unto the Lord for deliverance. And you know what happened? Amalek was defeated. And it goes on and on and on the whole journey. While Moses and Israel had been brought into impossible circumstances, a whole nation in a dry, barren, howling wilderness with wild animals and no food and no water, with all the flocks that they had. But they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And we find it throughout Scripture, things of David. In all his needs, he had no other refuge than in the Lord. He's a teenager, a young teenager. There's Goliath. And what does David say? 1 Samuel 17:45. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Praying, David went up to Goliath. And in Ziklag later on, when all his children, his wives were stolen and the men wanted to stone him. Then in 1 Samuel 30:6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David asked the Lord, and the Lord gave him a blessed victory. This all in the way of prayer. And again, repeatedly we find it, how David prayed unto the Lord. In the various battles and the wars, how he prayed and asked the Lord, how should I attack? And the Lord told him how to do it. The Lord delivered him time and again. The Lord answered David's prayers. He cried unto the Lord. And it was David who penned Psalm 34. We sang Psalter 88. That's a rendition of Psalm 34. And there in verse 6, David, the author, he writes, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Oh, it's so wonderful, so beautiful, so encouraging to see how the Bible is one string of people in impossible circumstances, and they pray to the Lord, and the Lord delivers them, leads them through in the most impossible circumstances. When King Asa sees 1 million men coming towards him, Ethiopians, in 2 Corinthians 14, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And we see Paul the Apostle as a man of prayer. And he encouraged the Ephesians to pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Peter, he urges the readers to pray, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I think you could also come up with more examples and more illustrations. And then we see the Lord Jesus himself. Mark 1:35. It was a Sunday morning, what we call Sunday. It was there the day after the Sabbath. And the Sabbath had been very busy for the Lord Jesus, if you read in Mark 1. Preaching several times, if we read between the lines. And spoken and counseled many people. And then as soon as the sun set, they brought all the sick to him. And he healed them. And of course, he explained the kingdom of heaven to them as he was healing. And it went on into the depths of the night. And then the next morning, very early, while it was still night, the Lord Jesus got up and went outside to a lonely place. And there the disciples found him later on praying. For he needed to pray. He himself had said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's all very well known, congregation. All these texts, you know them well. But how important it is in your life and in my life to be again encouraged and to be again laid out these matters, this need for fervent prayer, to call upon the Lord unto the Lord for all things, to pray through the events of your life, the matters that are on the go in your life now, even the most minute details, to lay them before the Lord in prayer for His wisdom, for His guidance, for His strength, for His courage, for His mercy, for His love, for keeping from falling into all kinds of awful, horrific sins. What a dependent people we are, how we need Him. And we are urged and encouraged to lay all our needs before the Lord and never to despair, because He is most able. He is the Lord, our God. And He is most able. Even in impossible circumstances you may be in, you are called to pray. Even when you think that no good can ever come out of these difficulties I'm in, and nobody understands the dilemma I'm in. Even when you think that everything is beyond hope for you, and you can never be delivered, pray. For God is enthroned on high, far above all circumstances. In all things, the text says, not just in the important things that we think are important, in all things, the Lord says. That means bring all your empty vessels. And if you fill their vessels yourself, empty them and bring them all before the Lord. Not our plans, God's plan. Not our ways, not our insights, God's sovereign will. And whatever the circumstances, God hears prayer. And He is able to deliver you, your family, your loved ones, the congregation. Therefore, we are to pray. And that's why we're here this evening. It's a good thing to have these prayer sessions, prayer services. Because we have many needs, congregation, we have more needs than we are aware of. And let there be amongst us in our homes prayer for the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit to give us discretion in our speech. And that our speech would be sprinkled with salt, the Apostle says. And that we would be considerate for one another, caring for one another, bearing one another's burdens. That the Holy Spirit would give spiritual life to us and to our children. That they would discover for themselves by the grace and the power and the guidance of God's Spirit how blessed it is to know the Lord. And the words that our children learn from their youth on, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that they would see it's really true. He is blessed in the absolute sense. And those who do not fear the Lord are not blessed in the absolute sense. But we have to see that. We need God's Spirit. Let there be prayer for conversion, prayer for spiritual increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Well, in our text we read that Israel prayed and the Lord wonderfully also heard their needs. And Moses explains how the Lord was close to them. That's why we also consider God's presence. Because Moses explains that the Lord God is nigh to you, people of God. That's what the text says. The Lord God is nigh to you. That's the secret. That's why they are blessed. That's why they are such a great nation. God is nigh to you. If God be for you, who or what can be against you? You see, God was close to them while they were in slavery in Egypt. They didn't notice it. But He was close to them. And they could have seen it in the fact that they multiplied in the midst of all their afflictions. And God was close to them when they stood at the Red Sea. The Lord was very close to them and performed a miracle unprecedented. Deliverance from terrible dangers. And the Lord led them or was with them, was nigh to them permanently. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. All the years when they murmured, the cloud was there. Can you believe it? When they had no water, the cloud was there. And they didn't look to the cloud, but they murmured against Moses. But you know, we are no better. We are no better. Because every Lord's Day, the Lord declares to us, grace be unto you and peace. And how often do we think of that during the week? How often do we plead on that, I and you? How often do we do it? That's the pillar of a cloud over us. But we often neglect it, don't we? We're not better than Israel. But the Lord was with them. He carried them all the days. He was with them in all His power and grace and loving kindness. And that's the secret of the ancient people of Israel. The Lord was their God. The Lord was nigh to them. But that's also the secret of the church. And the bush was not burned. That's the hidden reality in the lives of God's people. That they persevere. Not because they're so strong. On the contrary, they're weak. But they carry on. And they even grow. And see more of the goodness of the Lord. That's because the Lord is nigh to them. And if you think about who the Lord is, oh, think of the power of the Lord. His almighty power. And think of the greatness of His understanding and His wisdom far beyond us. And He lifts up the weak and those who have no power and those who have no insight. He teaches them wisdom. And He is the God of grace when sinners plead for mercy. And you know, whatever needs you may have, there can be many needs in your life. Spiritual needs, there are diverse spiritual needs. They are very diverse. And there are many needs in daily life. And there are various forms of crosses and various forms of burdens that people carry along with them. But there's one thing common to all that. And that is you cannot bear it yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You see that you're unable. You don't have strength. You don't have wisdom. Are you never in circumstance that you wonder for wisdom in upbringing of children? Or in dealing with other people? Or in decisions you need to make? You need wisdom. You have none. And you're at a loss. You wonder, what must I do, O Lord? And then you confess, Lord, I cannot help myself. Wilt Thou guide me? And the Lord is a living God. He does guide. And especially when you're convicted of your sins and your guilt and you see that I cannot pay for my sins. Has that become a burden to us? Because that's common to all people. And that's fundamental scriptural. I cannot atone for my own guilt. I cannot remove one sin. It's a terrible discovery. Have you made that discovery? You know what? Then you become meek. You become lowly. You become broken. And from that disposition, you cry out to the Lord. You need mercy to save you. You need mercy to save your loved ones, your children. You need His mercy to give you wisdom and light. You need His mercy to give you strength. You need His mercy to carry you while you're bearing the cross. You need His mercy to pay and to wash for all your sins and to cleanse you daily from all uncleanness. You need God. And because you see you have not, and you need, and you deserve nothing, you become meek. That's how the Spirit works. And now it's exactly that. These people that the Lord delights to live with. Because, you know that text too. Isaiah 57:15. The high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and the holy place, but with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord lives exactly with the meek, with the humble, with the have-nots, who deserve nothing, who cannot and are not and will not. The Lord lives with them, the meek. That's the secret of His people. And why the Lord lives with such a people is not because they are meek. Though the Lord lives with His people because there was one who took the place of these guilty, unworthy people. The Lord saves and redeems His people because the Lord Jesus took their place. And He bore the curse that rests upon you and me because of our sins. And how can God ever hear one prayer? Because of Him who interposes, Him who is the mediator. It's in Christ Jesus that God draws nigh and comforts like a mother and strengthens like a father. It's in the Lord Jesus that God opens up fountains of blessing, never-ending fountains of all good flow from Him. Very practical. In all your practical day-to-day needs of daily life, in your family, in your work, in your farm, in your business, in your school, in your shop, everything. Holistic, total approach. Glory be to God. That's how the Lord deals with His people. Do you know His nearness in your life? Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And so in this week of preparation, we are to pray and ask ourselves, if we have owned our guilt, if we see our sins, have we been humbled before the Lord? Are our hearts broken? And do we cleave and look only to the finished work of the Lord Jesus? And do we need His Holy Spirit to unite us to Christ? Do we need His Spirit to lead us again into that renewed communion with Christ? As you see your Mediator, and then seeing Him and communing with Him, you desire to be at the supper, because there the Lord is nigh to His people. In broken bread and poured out wine, He is close. Yes, the Lord Jesus Himself is present. And as we eat that bread and drink that wine, we eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ. communion with the very body and blood of Christ, but through the Holy Spirit. It's a real communion with the body of Christ. But through the Spirit, bread remains bread and wine remains wine. But it's a holy table. The Lord is there. They have communion with Him. And He is willing to be close to the poor and the needy. You look to Him. And for Jesus' sake, God is willing to be nigh. God the Father is willing to be nigh, and the Spirit is willing to work in such a people. And that's God's presence. But then this all leads to a blessed people. We look again at our text. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we would call upon Him for. Look how blessed Israel was. What a blessed nation. Boys and girls, to whom could you compare Israel? Who can fathom the mystery of Israel? Open your eyes. Look what's going on in the Middle East. It's all about Israel. The big world powers are grappling because of Israel. The safety precautions at airports, it's because of Israel. That's what it all comes down to. Who can fathom Israel? A little people that should have been wiped off the map. And they are there. Stronger. And they are secular. They are secular. Many Israelis say, I'm not religious. But if you go in the days of Moses, there was not an ethnic nation in the world like Israel. The Hittites. Mighty nation, not to be compared. They're gone now. And the Egyptian Empire, well, it's in turmoil. Israel was fed with bread from heaven, with water from the rock. It was kept in the wilderness. It had a perspective upon a land overflowing with milk and honey. It was a nation delivered from slavery. What a blessed, blessed nation. The text speaks of what nation is there so great. Yes, Israel was blessed. It had the revelation of life everlasting, and Israel knew how to be delivered from sin and guilt. Israel had the true revelation. The Lord was shining with His light in this dark world where all the pagans, our forefathers, from so many centuries ago, we're all in darkness, but there was only light in Israel. That's why it was a great nation, not because of its numbers. Other nations were much larger in number. It was great, not because of its worthiness. It was unworthy. It was one of the smallest of the nations, the Lord says. But Israel was great because of its God. And now we draw the line to the New Testament church. Delivered from slavery. Isn't that the case for every child of God? And some of you may know vividly how you were a slave to sinful desires. But the Lord entered your life and He broke those bonds. He removed the guilt. And when you saw God's grace entering your life, you were delivered from the realm of darkness, from the slavery you were in, and you were given life. You still remember it. Life. Freedom. And you rejoiced. You say, how great is the Lord! And then the Lord fed you also with water from the rock. Because the rock was Christ, Paul explained. The Lord fed you with living waters from Christ, and you found out that He became living waters within you. And they start bubbling up.
want
to speak about the Lord and His goodness. And the Lord gave you the bread from heaven, given by the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ. And the Lord gave you a perspective upon life everlasting, Emmanuel's land. Oh, what a blessed people are the people of God. They cry to Him and He hears them. He delivers them from all their needs. The Lord is with Him, and that's the strength and the secret of every child of God in all the struggles he or she goes through. The words of Psalm 71 verse 20 are applicable. Thou which who hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Thou shalt increase my greatness. Yes. But it's not because of us. It's because of God. God with His people. Emmanuel, God with us. And at Pentecost, God in us. And so we see this evening a great God. And therefore a great people, greatly blessed, greatly privileged, with a great future that they don't see now, but it's coming. Although the people in themselves are so small and weak, they can't even blow a feather away. They need His mercy. But because of His mercy, because of His presence, you people of God are more than conquerors through Him who loved you. And the Lord is still inviting sinners to belong to Him. Sinners who still live outside of Christ, who do not belong to God's people, who live their own lives. Oh, don't continue on in such a life of rebellion against God, or a life of not being in love, in holy love with God. But seek Him. To love Him. Seek Him and His Spirit and His grace to work mightily in you. He is still willing to hear the cries of needy people and to save to the uttermost. And therefore you, God's people, be very humble and realize your rich position, that you are saved, reconciled, that God is close to you. Oh, seek this Savior more. Seek to love Him more and seek to belong to Him. Do not rest on your being saved, but rest on Christ alone. Too many people rest on what they think this is, that they are saved and they can deceive themselves. But rest on Christ alone. Many of the people of Israel, they rested on salvation that they thought they had, and they were cut off. You need to rest on Christ. Joshua and Caleb, they rested on the Lord and on His promises. And so, congregation, let us lay all our needs before the Lord, for He is able to give far above what we think or hope, and that's why it's a blessing to be here. On this Wednesday night, a blessing to be able to pray together and to pray with anticipation for God's nearness upon us, that we with our children may be blessed, that our congregation would be blessed also in the future, to the glory of God. Amen.